Mystery solved. Hey, welcome, Truth Seekers. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. That's right, it is I, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, live and broadcasting for Mike Malloy from the Left Coast, the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. It is spring break for the Malloys, so you will have me all week long. I hope that's okay. Delighted to be here with you. Please stop on by, if you like. Stop on by our chat room at bradblog.com, where I am. Did I already say I'm your friendly investigative citizen, journalist, blogger, troublemaker, and muckraker? That's me. Stop on by our chat room at bradblog.com, where For Earth and Dez are holding down the fort. We would love to see you there. Makes the program twice as lively. Mystery solved. Who knew if Barack Obama was going to run for a second term? Well, now we do. Mystery solved. Who knew? And, by the way, another mystery solved. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be tried in a military tribunal at Gitmo. This was announced today, on the same day that Barack Obama announced he'd be running again for president. So that means he has undone one of his very first promises on the day that he announced he was going to be running again. But who would notice? Okay, big show for you tonight. Our phone number throughout the evening, in case you want to jot it down to get in on any of the conversation, is 877-520-1150. That is 877-520-1150. You can also tweet me, if you will, on the Twitters. I am the Brad Blog over there, and I do my best to keep my eyes on that and the chat room throughout the night. Big show ahead tonight. Congressman Hank Johnson from Georgia's 4th District, the Fighting 4th, will be joining us in this hour to talk about something that we had hit pretty hard last time I was guest hosting here for the Malloys back in February, when we learned about this $12 million U.S. chamber plot to defraud, to scam, to smear progressive journalists, organizations, people like, yes, yours truly, me, Brad Friedman, and my family, who were named in the documents that were being put together on behalf of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I'll get to that in a little bit and reset that situation in advance of the congressman's visit here tonight, because it's an extraordinary story, much of which has been lost, understandably, over the past, what, month or two, since we've had new wars, a record 9.0 earthquake and tsunami and nuclear catastrophe in Japan, everything that is going on in Wisconsin, where, by the way, there is an election tomorrow. We'll be keeping our eyes on that, of course. Election for the Supreme Court, which is said to be a bellwether for these upcoming recalls of the Republican senators in the U.S., I'm sorry, not in the U.S., but in the state house up there in Wisconsin. So far, it looks like signatures are in. They're still being verified, but signatures are in so far for two of those Republican senators who will be most likely recalled, or at least up for recall election. Tomorrow's election is between the Justice David Prosser, a big supporter of Governor Scott Walker's, Joanne Klopp, I always screw up her name here. Kloppenberger? Do I get it right? Kloppenberg? See, should plan beforehand. I think it's Kloppenberg. Anyway, she is running against, where here? Kloppenberg. Yeah, I had it right. She's running against Prosser. Prosser thought to be, like I said, a supporter of, has said he is a supporter of Scott Walker's on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, while Kloppenberg promises to be fair and balanced and make her decision based on the rule of law. Go figure. Right now, that court in Wisconsin has a 4-3 majority for the right-wingers, and that balance would change depending on the results of the election tomorrow. Could swing back in favor of things like, you know, justice and the rule of law and so forth. So we will be keeping our eyes on that election believe it, a lot of people watching this thing. This thing has been nationalized. An incredible amount of money is being spent on both sides, both by the grassroots Tea Party. Somehow they've been able to come up with something like $1.2 million to spend in TV buys and media buys on behalf of Prosser. And the labor unions, who are being attacked, assaulted, made illegal, their freedoms being taken away, they spent something like $900,000 on this bellwether election, this proxy election, which is likely to tell us which way Wisconsin may be headed, which way these recall elections that are going to come up in the next few months may be headed, and therefore which way 2012 may be headed, as we look and see whether these guys, these Republican governors who have come in state after state, Republican legislatures, and have committed what is being referred to as the great Republican overreach of 2011. I think it is, and I think it's coming back to haunt him here. But we'll see. There's also the matter of the election, the voting machines that they use in states around the country. That is always a wild card. Most of the votes being cast tomorrow, Tuesday, in Wisconsin will be on paper ballots. That's a good thing. Now we just have to fight to count them. All righty then. What else? Okay, so as I said, we've got Hank Johnson coming up. We've got a professor from Australia also a little bit later in the show with a really interesting story on sock puppetry. I'll leave it at that for now and tease you with that, and hope you will stick around to hear what that is all about, because it actually kind of plays into this U.S. chamber story, which I will get to presently, as soon as I see what other business I have here. Oh, yeah, by the way, folks who've been writing in, who enjoyed our April Fool's special edition last Friday of the Mike Malloy Show, glad you enjoyed it. Even gladder still that very few people were angry at me. Actually, only I think only one listener expressed their displeasure. Other than that, if you missed it, we do have it up at bradblog.com. If you're not a Malloy podcast subscriber, and by the way, if you're not, you should be, if you wish to support progressive radio over your public airwaves, because there ain't much of it out here. And folks like the Malloys and the other folks on the progressive side of the aisle are working like hell to stay on the air, and your support in that regard really is important. Signing up for a podcast subscription really does make a difference to voices like Malloy's and occasionally mine staying on the air. Okay, one of the things I've been buried in over the past 3 weeks has been obviously Fukushima Daiichi, the nuclear plant, for at least obvious to those folks who've been following it, bradblog.com. Things have, we will call them, stabilized, sort of, kind of here for the moment. They the latest news is that they are planning, or they are in the process of now, dumping 11.5 tons of quote-unquote low-level radiated water into the ocean to make room in the storage containers there for the higher-level radiated water coming out of Unit 2 at 100,000 times the legal levels. It's coming out through an 8-inch crack that is flooding into the ocean. They're trying to stop it still with sandbags. And using what turns out to, boy, oh boy, is it sounding a lot like the BP oil spill, man. Over the weekend, they were trying and failing to plug the leak in this crack in the wall, which is leaking out radioactive water into the ocean. I mean, using what really, I mean, this sounded like the BP thing. They were using this liquid polymer, a combination of a liquid polymer, sawdust, and newspaper to try to plug up this hole. Junk shot, anyone? It didn't work. So they're still fighting to plug that up. Of course, a few days ago, one of the nuclear safety officials in Japan came out and said, well, don't worry about it. The high radiation level is it's just in the 20-kilometer exclusion zone. So there's no fishing going on there. You don't have to worry about it. He was not clear whether or not he had informed the irradiated fish that they are not allowed to swim out of that 20-kilometer exclusion zone. Anyway, a big show straight ahead. A whole lot more. We'll see how much I get to. When we come back, I'll try to bring you back up to speed where we were on this U.S. Chamber of Commerce plot before Congressman Johnson joins us. More straight ahead. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome back to the Malloyalists out there. Someone just used that word in the bradblog.com chat room. I kind of like it. By the way, 43 years ago today, Martin Luther King was killed in Memphis, Tennessee, fighting for the rights of workers down there. We'll have a bit of a tribute later on in the show. Hope you'll stick around for that. All right, we're going to be joined momentarily by Congressman Hank Johnson of Georgia's 4th District. To talk about just exactly what he has been able to do, or what he is trying to do, to get some accountability in the matter of this U.S. chamber plot, which is remarkable. If you have not read about it, for a while it was getting a lot of press until a lot of huge stories sort of blew up on us, so to speak. Last time I was here on the Mike Malloy Show back in February, I found out about it while I was going on air, actually. While I was on air, actually, on Thursday night as I was hosting, I had found out that emails, 70,000 emails from this government contractor security intelligence data company called HB Gary Federal, 70,000 emails of the CEOs had been released onto the internet by Anonymous, the hacktivist collective that sort of got into a fight with this fella. Aaron Barr is his name. And so they were able to hack his website. Remember, this is a cybersecurity firm, right? Contracted by the government in the war on terror. They were able to hack his firm, his email servers, his web servers, deface them, deface his Twitter accounts, take over the whole damn thing in seconds. And when they placed his email online, what was in that email? Well, a plan that was being devised by HB Gary, the company, along with two other technology firms, cybersecurity firms, Palantir Technologies and Barracode Technologies. They were working together, the three of them, and calling themselves Team Themis. And they were working to devise a plot on behalf of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's attorneys. Big law firm by the name of Hunton and Williams to put together this plot for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And as we learned on that Thursday night as I was going to air, that this plot was going to put out fraudulent documents, was going to attempt to smear progressive organizations with these documents, with fake personas, sock puppets. They were going to hack into the organizations, the servers, the people who ran these organizations, journalists and so forth, who the U.S. Chamber of Commerce perceived as enemies. And one of the organizations that they were targeting was one called VelvetRevolution.us. That happens to be an organization co-founded by the Brad Blog. That's right, yours truly. We founded that organization as a political advocacy group and began a campaign about a year or so ago over there called StopTheChamber.com, meant to expose the mafia-like tactics, frankly, of this U.S. chamber and the extent that they were willing to go, the extremist extent that they were willing to go on behalf of the right-wing agenda out there. The Chamber of Commerce is the largest lobbying group, political action group, really, in the world. And they are now extremely far right, and Stop the Chamber was meant to expose them. So we knew that they were planning to target Velvet Revolution. And then the next day, while on air on Friday, right here on the Mike Malloy Show, I had heard from the folks at Think Progress who were going through all of these emails. And they said, "Hey, Brad, just want to let you know, give you a heads up, you and your family have been named in these documents, have been targeted, personal information on you and, like I say, your family, who some of whom have absolutely nothing to do with any of the work that I do. We were being targeted. My family was referred to as pressure points, apparently to be used against me. So this was the insidious plot that was being put together, a $12 million plot. $2 million a month was going to go to H.B. Gary, Palantir, and Barrico, these guys calling themselves Team Themis, to do these insidious attacks on people like me. Also people like Glenn Greenwald, by the way, on behalf of Bank of America. A very similar plot, almost parallel plot, with the same players, but on behalf of Bank of America instead of U.S. Chamber. Reportedly. This is the situation that was unwinding, that continues to unwind. Now, mind you, the Republicans in the U.S. House, they now run the joint, and they are the benefactors of beneficiaries of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's money. In 2010, the U.S. Chamber spent more money than anyone else on elections, and 97% of it went to Republican candidates. So are they going to do anything about it? Seems unlikely. Is the Department of Justice going to do anything about it? Well, as part of this scheme, we learned that the DOJ had actually recommended this group of folks to Bank of America. So they, too, are compromised. Who will do anything about any of this to bring accountability for these plans to spy, to smear, to hack? It's an extraordinary plot. So who will bring some accountability? Perhaps my next guest, Hank Johnson, congressman from Georgia. He has been trying to. He has asked the Republicans in the Judiciary Committee to hold hearings. They have refused. He is now trying to get some accountability from the DOJ and the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security. He will tell us about that when he joins us right after this break. You're listening to Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show. Jailhouse Rock, the song may be about as close as we ever get to throwing any of these punks in jail. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com here for Mike Malloy. We'll be speaking hopefully momentarily here with Congressman Hank Johnson. He's at an event, and we're told he'll be calling in shortly to talk about, once again, this U.S. Chamber plot, this $12 million plot for which there has yet to be any accountability. Three cybersecurity firms, all government contractors, who developed these tools, these software devices, schemes, plans that they were going to use on U.S. citizens, including yours truly, me and my family, were targets of this plot. And I wrote about this at Brad Blog. You can go look up U.S. Chamber, and, you know, and they had put together, they were putting together this scheme when it was outed by Anonymous. And by the way, Anonymous, thank you. Thank you for doing so. But they were planning to use tools that were developed for the war on terror, that these three government contracting groups, H.B. Gary, Palantir, and Barrico, had developed to track terrorists. And one of the emails said 70,000 of these emails were released. One of the emails, you know, talked about the fact that the chamber was impressed by Palantir's demonstration that they had put together, their video demonstration that they had put together to go after terrorists trying to sneak explosives into and out of Iran. And they had put together this video showing how they had developed tools to take these networks out there, all of these invisible people, if you will, out there on the web, and to be able to see them. And that is what the U.S. Chamber was interested in when they went to these three companies to put together this $12 million plot. They were interested in using those tools to come after folks like, yes, me. And there's a picture of me in their PowerPoint presentation that these companies, these three companies, were working with Hunton and Williams, the law firm, one of the biggest law firms in the country, to present to the U.S. Chamber to close this deal just days. Their meeting was to be, I think it was February 14th, Valentine's Day. Lovely. And about a week or so before that, that is when Anonymous happened to disclose their emails. And when, by the way, when they released those emails, Anonymous had no idea what was in them. They were going after this H.B. Gary company because they were ticked off at them because the CEO of H.B. Gary had threatened to reveal the names of the people who make up Anonymous. And Anonymous told them, hey, you got the wrong names. You're going to reveal the names of innocent people. And, of course, instead what happened was the names of people like me and my family and personal information about us was revealed as Think Progress, as Lee Fong over at Think Progress found out and reported. And, of course, we've been reporting it as well at the Brad blog. Well, a few days ago, and as I say, we'll jump in with the congressman as soon as he gets here. But a few days ago, Lee Fong of Think Progress was at an event with Richard Clark, who served as the terror czar, whatever they call them, under both Democratic and Republican presidents. He also served for a while as the cybersecurity czar for the Bush administration. And Lee Fong had asked him about this plot, this $12 million plot in which they were going after, perceived enemies of the U.S. chamber. Not just Velvet Revolution's StopTheChamber.com campaign, but also SEIU had put together a campaign called the U.S. Chamber Watch. So they were going after SEIU, trade unions, of course, and other left-of-center think tanks here in America, as Lee Fong put it in his question that he asked to Richard Clark, the former cybersecurity terrorism czar for the Bush administration. He said, he explained what was going on and how they were going to use these firms were going to use sock puppets to try to infiltrate the groups, to try to discredit us, to put out forged documents. Here's part of Lee Fong's question, and here is what Richard Clark said in response. I'm sorry, caught you off guard there, Tony. Here we go. Now we've got it.
What do you think about that type of threat from a lobbyist or a corporation targeting political enemies or perceived enemies here in the U.S.?
I think it's a violation of NUSC. I think it's a felony, and I think they should go to jail.
Richard Clark says he thinks it's a violation of 10 U.S.C. He thinks it's a felony. He thinks they should go to jail. He furthermore said that it's fine with them if the U.S. Chamber wants to try and hack, use cyber attacks on U.S. citizens. He says that's fine with me because the FBI will be on their doorstep in a matter of hours. I'm not quite so sure that they will, because as I said before the break, the DOJ seems to be somewhat compromised here, having referred these very same security firms who receive millions and millions of dollars in contracts from the U.S. government, having referred these security firms and this law firm to the Bank of America to pull off a similar plot to the one that the U.S. Chamber appears to have been trying to pull off. Will anybody bring accountability here? Will anybody do anything about it? Apparently, the Republicans in the U.S. Congress won't. Little surprise, given how much money they receive from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the largest lobbying firm in the world, largest right-wing lobbying firm in the world. One man is trying to bring some accountability. He joins us now, Congressman Hank Johnson, Democrat from Georgia's 4th District, actually Mike Malloy's district. He has been fighting to get some accountability here. He's a member of the Judiciary and Armed Services Committee, and he is taking the lead in trying to bring some justice in this U.S. chamber plot matter. Congressman Johnson, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing better now that you're here because, in truth, sir, first thing I need to do, Congressman, is thank you for taking the lead on this, because this has, you know, as I believe you know, has affected me and my family personally, and I've been sitting around for the last month or two saying, is anybody going to bring any accountability? So, thank you, sir, right off the bat for at least trying to and joining with your colleagues on the Democratic side of the House to have some hearings on this matter in the U.S. House.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm here to serve the people of this country, not just the rich and the powerful, but those who may be a little unpopular, such as yourself. With the mainstream media and the governmental officials that are involved, and we are here to serve the people, and so I'm proud to be a proponent for openness, transparency, and justice for all.
Well, I wish there were more like you. You said in a statement, I believe it was this week, that, quote, this scandal cries out for a full investigation. We need aggressive action to defend American citizens in the cyber domain. So what can be done at this point now that your Republican colleagues have said they will not hold an investigation on this? What can be done at this point to bring pressure to bear on either Congress, either your colleagues on the Republican side or on the Department of Justice, to take action and do their job here, Congressman?
Well, I'm hopeful that someone in Congress on the other side of the aisle will decide that this issue merits further scrutiny. I don't see how anyone could think that it does not. Someone has to look into this, and if I have to do it by myself, I'll do the best that I can. And eventually, one way or the other, we've got to get to the bottom of this situation. We're talking about basic liberty. We're talking about constitutional rights that people have that may have been usurped or that may have been in the process of being usurped by this nefarious scheme that would invade the privacy of individuals such as yourself. It would, be an effort to discredit and damage and ultimately destroy the credibility of people who are exercising their First Amendment rights to discuss issues and to disagree with those who hold the purse strings and those who are calling the shots. And when we start losing our privacy to those who would use government funds to discredit Americans who are simply exercising their freedom of speech right, I think we've reached a very low point, and we've reached a point where we cannot let this go without getting to the bottom of it.
Which is, of course, my feeling, but your colleague, Congressman Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, he is now the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. He has declined to pursue the matter. He said in a statement, "While I appreciate Mr. Johnson's letter, it is the role of the Justice Department to determine whether a criminal investigation is warranted." Is he correct? Isn't the Judiciary Committee exactly the appropriate place to look at this matter and then ask the DOJ for an official investigation?
Yeah, I think this is certainly a matter for government oversight. Through the Judiciary Committee, which deals with our constitutional rights, and also the government investigation subcommittee, or excuse me, committee, the Investigations and Oversight Committee, certainly has some, that this falls right into their bailiwick, and it's armed services as well.
Well, it should. It should.
Lastly, intelligence. All four of those committees share some jurisdiction on some of the issues arising from this this very important scandal that is unfolding.
It certainly seems like it should, Congressman Hank Johnson. But do you still hold out hope that one of these committees will say, yes, we will be looking into this matter?
Yeah, I do. I think if we can kind of keep the pressure going, I believe that as more people begin to understand what was being planned and what may have already occurred through some other combinations of government contractors and private industry, when people understand the stakes for our freedom, I think the public will demand that Congress investigate this. And this is not a partisan issue. It's really not a Republican or Democratic issue. This transcends politics and goes to the heart of what this country is all about, and that's our constitutional liberties.
Well, you would think so, and I would hope so, but given the amount of money that I know the Chamber of Commerce passes out on Capitol Hill, the huge majority of it going to Republicans, I get the sense that they would rather do anything but talk about this issue, which points a direct arrow back to the scheme that was being a $12 million scheme that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce appears to have been planning. Congressman, I have to get to a quick break. Are you able to stick through the break here? Because I got a few more questions I'm dying to ask you.
I can.
Thank you, sir. We're speaking with Congressman Hank Johnson, Democratic congressman from Georgia's 4th District, about the insidious U.S. chamber plot to use terror tools against U.S. citizens, including yours truly and my family. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead. Please stay with us.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike today. We are speaking with Congressman Hank Johnson, Democrat from the Georgia's 4th District. Delighted for to have him here for just a few more minutes, speaking about this insidious, invidious U.S. chamber plot to use tools developed for the war on terror against the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's perceived enemies, people like SEIU, U.S. Chamber Watch, VelvetRevolution.us, and of course, unfortunately, me, myself, and even my family, incredibly enough. All right, Congressman, have you spoken with anyone on the Senate side where it might be a little bit easier to bring a full investigation in the Judiciary Committee over there, since the Democrats still have the majority over there?
Yes, we have reached out to a number of senators, and their staffs have reviewed the situation. And so far, we have not had anyone who has decided to take this up. But we're going to continue to search for a true patriot in the Senate who understands these issues and what it means to our future as Americans. And hopefully someone on the Senate side will decide to take this thing up.
I hope so, and I'll ask you before we go how we might be able to help. But I know that you asked, you sent letters this week or last week to the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, asking them for the contracts that these three security firms, HB, Gary Federal, Palantir, and Barrico, had with the U.S. government to determine if they were allowed to use the tools that they developed in the war on terror with federal taxpayer dollars, if they were allowed to use those same tools privately, whether it was against U.S. citizens or anybody else. Have you received those contracts, and have you been able to make that determination if that was included in there?
No, we have not received the contracts as of yet. We gave them time to respond to the letter. And in addition to those that you named, also the Director of National Intelligence was sent a letter. And I believe that one way or the other, we're going to get these documents. And I'm hopeful that one of the, or that the Justice Department, someone, will forward those documents to us, and then we can tell what kind of work that these three security contractors were doing for the government, and whether or not their contracts prohibited them from using those tools developed at taxpayer expense on the taxpayers. And if it did, I think that's something that needs to be corrected contractually. And also, I think that we certainly should look into whether or not our current laws are expansive enough to get at this kind of misconduct. And I'm alleging that there's probable cause to believe that there is misconduct. I don't want to jump to a conclusion that there has been misconduct, but certainly this is a situation that merits further inquiry so that we can make sure that our laws are sufficient to prevent and to punish any misconduct that would ensue from mixing government with private business using taxpayer money to enhance private business. It's just such an incestuous situation that that is being discovered.
Congressman Hank Johnson, I really appreciate the work you're doing on this. I'm up against a hard break, but thank you for your time, and let us know how we can help, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Mike Malloy Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman sitting in for the spring-breaking Malloys. That's right, it is I, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, once again, drafted into duty to be your broadcast media because, well, someone's got to. I hope you heard that interview, the hour there with Congressman Hank Johnson. We ran short on time, right up against the wall there, against the clock, so I didn't get to give his website. I spoke to him just now over the break and said, well, what the hell can people do about this? What the hell can we do to bring some accountability against the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and those scoundrels and spies and sleazeballs, frankly, who are willing to spend $12 million to go after people simply because they don't agree with them politically, who are willing to try to discredit, to put out forged documents, to spy on their home internet networks, to use their families, personal details about their families against them. And yes, that is exactly what they did with me when I showed up inside those documents, my picture, my family, information about me that they were planning to use against me. Congressman said that he actually seemed kind of had a tough time coming up with what to do. He said, please email your congresspeople and tell them you want an investigation into the U.S. chamber plot. I think we can also afford to thank him for, frankly, stepping forward, Congressman Johnson, for stepping forward and trying to do something about this with everything else that's going on in the world and with the U.S. chamber and their powerful, powerful lobby in Congress. Whether they're supporting these Republicans, 97% of the money that they spend goes to these hard right-wing Republicans to keep them in or to use it against Democrats who oppose them. It's really appalling. So Congressman Johnson can be reached at his website. His campaign website is hankforcongress.com, and his House website is hankjohnson.house.gov. A couple people in the chat. Oh, and we will be speaking momentarily with Stefan Lewandowski in a sort of kind of related story to this U.S. chamber plot. An interesting one concerning sock puppetry, since they were planning to create these fake personas in chat rooms and blogs and use social media to try to create fake scandal to discredit journalists like myself and Glenn Greenwald and others. So we're going to go to Stefan Lewandowski with his interesting story in a moment here. But in the bradblog.com chat room for Earth, actually it was iCurry for me asked, can you sue them? Well, if the Department of Justice won't take action, then I will certainly consider doing so. I have spoken with some attorneys, you know, these going up against the most powerful law firm in the world. I'm sorry, the most powerful lobby in the world and one of the most powerful law firms, Hunton and Williams, who was putting together this plot, is not easy for anybody. It takes funding, it takes money, or it takes a deep pockets law firm who is willing to do this pro bono and go against these guys big time. And I'm weighing my options. We will just say that for now. For Earth adds in the chat room that she believes they're like mobsters, intimidating and threatening families. You're damn right. That's exactly what they are like. Mobsters. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce and their mafia-like tactics. Very quickly, let me get to Delta Doc in Portland, who has a thought on the U.S. chamber plot. Hey, Delta, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, thanks. Hey, I happen to be one of the other, fortunately, anonymous or pseudonymous targets that Team Themis identified. And that's because, as you know, I've been had some relevance in the data that we've discussed before that went to Stop the Chamber.
Right. And I will leave it to you whether you want to say who you are as far as where you write pseudonymously. I don't want to out you here. But, yeah, I certainly was not the only one. I know you were targeted as well for the good work that you're doing by investigating exactly what these guys have done and exposing what is out there on the public record.
Well, that's actually one of the things I wanted to mention is that the story is a little bigger than is understood at the moment. So that will be changing, I think, with time. But I think as your question, the question that For Earth asked, I think that's a very relevant one because and as you understand it, you put it in terms before that were of domestic terrorism, I believe you, you mentioned. I think that's a real serious issue. And I hope that Congressman Johnson really pushes that side of it. And I got knocked out there. You didn't get a chance to talk with him at all about that issue and whether that's the point he was addressing in the violation of 10 U.S.C. that's supposed by Richard Clark.
You know what? I did not get to ask him about that specifically. He was a little bit late in calling, and I did play that clip, however, of Richard Clark, former terrorism czar, cybersecurity czar under both Bush and Clinton administrations. Where he said, yes, he thinks, Richard Clark says, I think it's a violation of 10 U.S.C., I think it's a felony, and I think they should go to jail. He was quite clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not get to ask the congressman about it, but it, you know, that's out there floating in the cybersphere. Are you going to be covering 10 USC and what exactly that means and what it is that Clark is referring to there?
We'll be covering a little bit, but right. I don't think I have the details that I need to be.
Oh, uh-oh. My fault. I think I did that. Let me just say that I think that was me. So let me just say to that person I was talking to who doesn't wish to identify himself, and I understand, I will try to put you in touch with Congressman Johnson's office tomorrow. And I think that was me. Don't worry, Tony. I think I hit the wrong button. And put you in touch with him, and so you can get the information that you need on that. All right. Let me very quickly jump over here. And if you're on the line, hang on. I'm going to try to get to everybody. We will have open lines later on in this hour and all the entire next hour at 877-520-1150. If you want to get in on any of this stuff that we're talking about here. And we're going to talk about a lot more straight ahead. But I saw this story, and I thought, you know what? This kind of plays in exactly to what we were talking about, to the plot that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was talking about putting together. And, well, let me get right to him here. Stefan Lewandowski is an Australian professorial fellow at the School of Psychology at the University of Western Australia. He's a cognitive scientist who has published more than 100 papers, chapters, and scholarly books on how people remember and think, with an emphasis on the role of skepticism. His research addresses the distinction between skepticism, cynicism, and denial, and he writes about all of that frequently as a contributor to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's Unleashed public forum and debate blog. He had a very interesting story there recently, and Professor Lewandowski, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Nice to be here.
Great to have you here, and I know there's a bit of a satellite delay as you are down under there somewhere and taking some time off to talk to us. I really appreciate it. I don't want to give away the end of this story, Professor, so until after the break. So give us a general idea what happened and how this interesting story with a bit of a twist came about.
Yes, there was a bit of a twist indeed. Well, the background is that, as you said, I've been posting a few discussion pieces on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's website regarding climate change and skepticism and denial and so forth. And one of the things that I was very much aware of is that there's a lot of cyberbullying going on out there that, to some extent, appears to be orchestrated. And that is targeting a lot of people, including in particular climate scientists around the world, and unfortunately here in Australia as well. So basically what happened was that some time ago I got an email from a person who said to me, gee, we've never met, but we seem to share a concern, namely climate change. And then this person went on to tell me that she had recently began blogging, especially about climate change, and she was then noticed by the wrong people, as she said, in particular some well-known tabloid bloggers here in Australia. And they then directed their readers to her site. It was swarmed with what she called genuinely abusive comments, many relating to my disability, which I find very hurtful. That's her email to me. And she then went on to talk about how she has shrugged off that abuse, but that she found it very difficult. And she concluded her letter by saying, I thought that my blog might be a force for good in the world. Instead, it has made me a victim once again.
And she asked you, Professor Lewandowski, how how you put up with it, how you, you know, deal with those comments and the sock puppets. And for people don't know, the sort of the fakes that, you know, that show up and leave comments, perhaps paid by the in the plot we were talking about with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They were, by the way, they were willing to pay $250 an hour for folks to leave comments, abusive or otherwise, misinformative or otherwise, on blog sites. So she wondered how it was you survived, and she seems to really have played on your sympathies with her disability and so forth. And you wrote back to her, but I'm going to hold the story there because I have to take a quick break. Speaking with Professor Stefan Lewandowski from somewhere in Australia about this remarkable story of sock puppetry. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, and we will give you the twist and turn that occurred in this bizarre tale after he had Professor Lewandowski received this note in response to a piece he wrote at the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. You're listening to Brad in for Malloy. Stay with us for the twist. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Speaking with Professor Stefan Lewandowski about this rather remarkable story. He is, of course, from the University of Western Australia, a psychology professor down there, and he writes for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's Unleashed blog. He was he often writes on climate-related things. He was contacted by a woman who said that she, too, writes on similar issues, and with her disabilities, can she learn to put up with all of the people attacking her and the sock puppets in comments attacking her night and day the way that sometimes the professor is also attacked over on the ABC site? Have I reset the story there, Professor, pretty closely?
Yeah, pretty closely, except that the person who contacted me didn't herself mention any sock puppets. She was just talking about commenters as though they were people. So what then happened, just to continue the thread, is that I replied to her and said, you know, told her that I know all about those abusive comments and that what I do with them is to simply ignore them because those people are obviously not interested in, you know, civil debate. Mm-hmm. They're just out there to turn people off and to bully them. And what I then also said was that maybe a proportion of those comments is orchestrated, and for all we know, there are only a handful of people with multiple electronic personas each who are paid to create disproportionate noise. Mm-hmm. That was just the phrase I used in my email. So basically, I then told her, well, you know, some of these commenters may actually be sock puppets, people that are organized to leave these comments behind.
And did you hear back from her at that point, or was that the last you had heard from her?
That was the last I heard from her, and then about a week or so later after that, I found the entire correspondence published on her blog, her letter to me and my reply to her.
And what did you further then learn about her, this woman, who had sent
what I then learned, well, first of all, I was sort of taken by surprise a bit for this to be revealed on her blog because it was, you know, private correspondence. Mm-hmm. I didn't really say anything that I couldn't have said in public, so I was quite happy for this to be out there. But nonetheless, it took me a bit by surprise, especially because it took about a week and she never got back to me before then. Well, in the meantime, another journalist working for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation published a piece in which he identified this particular person as being, guess what, a sock puppet. this person just simply did not exist. The blog was fictitious. It was run by somebody else. We don't know who at this point. And so the entire correspondence was with a non-existent person. And basically what I did was to warn a sock puppet about the existence of sock puppets.
And what – unbelievable. And you can read about this story at the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, but in about 30 seconds, unfortunately, what do you think that she, whoever this were, he was actually trying to do, Professor?
Well, I can't be sure, but it stands to reason that what she was trying to do with this message was to elicit some response from me that could have been considered embarrassing, I guess. You know, obviously they intended to publish this all along. As it turns out, my reply was, very low-key and factual, and there was not much anybody can do with it other than read it and find it confirmed by this story. But my best guess is that this was just a fishing expedition to obtain some potentially compromising material
one,
that they could then post.
One that failed. More at bradblog.com. Thank you, Professor, for your time.
Could you lower those signs, please? I have some very sad news for all of you, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
Direct from our newsroom in Washington, in color, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. In the friend's words, the bullet exploded in his face. Dr. King had returned to Memphis only yesterday, determined to prove that he could lead a peaceful mass march in support of striking sanitation workers, most of whom are Negroes.
Dan Rather, reporting for CBS News from New York. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was shot to death by an assassin late today as he stood on a balcony in Memphis, Tennessee.
Confused in shocked city tonight, no one can believe what has happened. It's been just a little over an hour since Dr. Martin Luther King died from an assassin's bullet. King was shot as he stood on the balcony in front of room 306 in the Lorraine Hotel. He was alone. His aides were in the room behind him. Dr. King was rushed to St. Joseph's Hospital emergency room. He died at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time.
In a nationwide television address, President Johnson expressed the nation's shock.
America is shocked and saddened by the brutal slaying tonight of Dr. Martin Luther King. I ask every citizen to reject the blind violence that has struck Dr. King, who lives by nonviolence.
Dr. King had this to say last night about the situation in Memphis.
Somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are. What direction we want to move in.
What kind of nation we are. What direction do we want to move in? Martin Luther King was shot and killed 43 years ago today in 1968. My thanks to engineer Tony Sorrentino and producer Desi Doyen for putting together that montage on this day of remembrance. Incredibly, Martin Luther King was speaking on behalf of union workers down in Memphis when he was shot. And here we are, exactly 43 years later, in many cases, making this same fight. And these similar protests that go on. And incredibly, we have a media headed up by guys like Glenn Beck who come out and say, what? Martin Luther King, he wasn't fighting for unions. He didn't care about unions. Yeah, except for the day that he was shot and killed 43 years ago. Way to go, Glenn. Way to go, people of Wisconsin. Who are standing, by the way, Brad Friedman of Brad Blog in for Mike Malloy. Our phone number here, if you want to get in on the show, if you have any thoughts on what we've talked about tonight or what we will talk about or anything else that's on your mind, is 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Our chat room is at bradblog.com right now, live and lively. And, of course, we can be reached via the Brad Blog. On the Twitters at the Brad Blog, if you'd like to follow us there or send us some notes. All right. Okay. Where do we even begin after that? I wanted to actually finish up with one point from Stefan Lewandowski in that last hour. We ran up again against the clock, but you know, I had asked him what were they trying to accomplish here? What was the hope? And I think the hope was this was an Australian version of a James O'Keefe like scheme. You know, hope that he would reply back in some fashion that would embarrass him, that somehow they could use this against him, use whatever his reply was. I suspect they thought that he was going to, come back with something obnoxious because they presume these people, in this case, it was the climate change deniers. Folks like the Chamber of Commerce and the Republicans in this country, they presume that everyone else acts like them. So this professor up there in Michigan, is it, who they've asked him for his emails under public records laws, which were never meant to go after university professors. Well, he works for a university, therefore we can see his private emails, of course. The private emails didn't have anything in them that they thought that they would, nothing to embarrass this professor. But the presumption was, well, these people all act like us. We're jerks, so I'm sure they are, too. And we'll catch them. We'll catch them in their Saul Alinsky trickery, whoever the hell Saul Alinsky is. The only people who know who Saul Alinsky is these right wingers like James O'Keefe. And his buddies, his little punk buddies, who go out and pull these dirty tricks on people and then lie about the dirty tricks when they don't say what it is that they hope they say. Oh, it's not embarrassing enough what they actually said. So we'll just edit it around to make them look stupid if we can. That's what they do. 877-520-1150. But the folks in Wisconsin aren't putting up with this crap. They are standing up. They are fighting back. They are living in the legacy, under the legacy of Martin Luther King. They are fighting for their rights. Even some of the, I was happy to see, traditionally Republican constituency, the Fraternal Order of Police up there in Wisconsin, and in Ohio and elsewhere nationally, they are, saying, no, this is not what we bargained for. We didn't bargain to have our rights taken away in state after state, as we are now seeing in Wisconsin, in Ohio, in Michigan, in Florida. So even the Fraternal Order of Police, who generally endorse Republican candidates, are saying, no, enough. The head, the national president of the Fraternal Order of Police, said the other day, who are these evil teachers who teach your children, these evil policemen who protect them, these evil firemen who pull them from burning buildings. When did we all become evil? He asked. Well, you became evil when the liars and cretins who you backed and put into office felt that they had the impunity to do anything they wanted, including take away the rights, take away the rights from fellow Americans to bargain collectively. The exact same thing that the Tea Partiers had been fooled into believing was occurring, you know, in the healthcare reform bill last year. Oh, they're taking away our rights. They're stealing our freedoms. No. You want to know what having your freedom stolen looks like? Look no further than Madison, Wisconsin, and what Governor Scott Walker is doing there. Now, do you wonder what democracy looks like? Also, look no further than Wisconsin, where the recall efforts against these Republican senators, state senators, are now underway and moving fast, faster than anybody thought would happen. The Oshkosh Northwestern reports that organizers of a campaign to oust Republican Senator Randy Hopper believe they have enough signatures to force a recall election. Organizers are in the process of verifying that the signatures came from eligible voters before filing the petition with the state. This is according to Fond du Lac Democratic Party Chairman Rich Mance. He would not say how soon the organizers would be ready to file the recall petition. In addition to the new anti-public union law, Hopper faces other obstacles related to his ongoing divorce. Yes, as it turns out, Senator Randy Hopper, Republican from Wisconsin, doesn't even live in his own district anymore. Why? Because he lives with his mistress in another district. His, what is she, 27-year-old mistress now in another district? This we learned when folks went to what is supposed to be his house, and his wife said, yeah, no, the senator doesn't live here anymore. And by the way, sign me up for the recall against him. And that's what the maid said, too. The maid signed on for the recall against him. And now there's a question, as Ernie Canning over at Bradblog today discussed. Now there's a question of whether Randy Hopper can even vote in his own recall election. Can he even vote for himself to stay in his job? If he did, well, it would seem that that would be voter fraud, because he no longer lives in his own district. This is not unusual, unfortunately, on the Republican side, where we saw a story just the other day about John Huntsman, former governor of Utah, currently the outgoing U.S. ambassador to China, the Republican governor who now has a house in D.C. He hasn't lived in the governor's mansion for 19 months, and yet he used that as his address when he voted last November in the 2010 general election. The Secretary of State of Indiana, Charlie White, is currently facing three counts of voter fraud charges, facing seven felony charges altogether. But he's currently facing three counts of felony voter fraud, because he also does not live where he said that he lived when he registered to vote. This is the Secretary of State of Indiana, the state with the strictest photo ID restrictions and voter suppression laws in the country. And why does that matter? Well, because Republicans have been on a tear to keep you from being able to vote, from making up phony cases of voter fraud against, minorities, students, you know, people who may not have photo ID to live where they live. but who actually do live where they live. They just don't have photo ID. They are the ones who are going to be kept from voting in 2012 as these anti-voter legislation laws move forward in state after state. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show, 877-520-1150. Give us a call. To the Molloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. In for Mike Molloy. We'll get to your calls in a moment at 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. I just wanted to sort of close the loop there on this Republican voter fraud stuff that's going on. This epidemic of GOP voter fraud while they're making up cases against people who aren't reliable Republican voters. They're doing it themselves. They're high profile. Of course, everyone knows about Ann Coulter and her voter fraud, don't they? In Florida, in Connecticut. If you don't, go to bradblog.com/Coulter fraud and learn the whole story. But, you know, the Bush administration used unprecedented resources to go after so-called voter fraud. And, you know, one of the stories that Kimberly Prude up there in Wisconsin, by the way, up there in Milwaukee, as I recall, she had been years ago a felon. She had never served time in jail. She had, been given felony charges for writing a bad check about 5 years beforehand. And then in 2004, she was actually signed up to work the polls, and she voted absentee. And then she found out from her probation officer that she was not allowed to vote. So she called and turned herself in, essentially said before the election, said, "Oh, can we please remove my vote? I didn't mean to vote because I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to as a former felon." And she was thrown in jail. She was thrown, had never served time in jail prior to that. She was thrown in jail. There's other, you know, heartbreaking stories. The guy, the Pakistani national who had lived in this country for more than 10 years. And when he went to to get a driver's license, he was handed a stack of forms. One of them was a voter registration form. He just filled out the forms that he was handed. And he never voted, by the way, but he filled out a voter registration form. He had been here for 10 years. He had married an American woman. He had a daughter, an American daughter. He was deported. He was sent back to Pakistan with his wife and daughter, who were strangers in their own country. So, you know, none of those people, and he didn't even vote. None of those people, of course, were Republicans, much less state senators like Randy Hopper up there in Wisconsin, who no longer lives in his own district, or John Huntsman from Utah, former governor, who may be running for president on the Republican ticket. Or Ann Coulter, who had her former FBI boyfriend come in and get her off the hook for committing voter fraud in the state of Florida. The documents that prove it are, of course, available at bradblog.com/Coulter fraud. Let me get to Ted here we go. Ted in Illinois. Hey, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, Ted. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, thanks a lot. I wanted to bring the attention to a major election going on in Wisconsin tomorrow. The election is going to be for the state Supreme Court candidate.
Yep.
And her name is Joanne Kloppenburg. I wanted to make sure everyone knows in the Madison listening area, Madison has, in the suburbs of Madison and Madison, there's two cab companies, Union Cab and Badger Cab. They're going to be giving free rides tomorrow for anyone who needs it to the polls.
Nice.
And The polls are going to be open tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. I just want to make sure everyone knew that.
Thank you for doing so, Ted. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. I'm glad you have repeated it. We're going to obviously going to keep our eyes on that election tomorrow, make sure there are no problems at the polls where we can on Election Day, and we will be talking about it tomorrow night on the Mike Malloy Show. But if you're out there, Madison, this is important. It matters. Get out there and vote tomorrow, and stick around if you can at your county and watch how your votes are counted. Make sure it's done as transparently as possible. Make sure folks in line are able to vote, that they're not turned away. Do everything you can to make Wisconsin a model for democracy tomorrow and in the many upcoming recall elections that I think we're going to see in the next few months. Hey, thanks, Ted. I really appreciate the call, sir.
All right, take care. Thanks.
All right, brother. You're listening to Brad in for Mike Malloy. We got another hour ahead with open lines. I got a bunch of things that I might like to talk about. But you might have something you want to talk about. Whatever it is that you do want to talk about, whatever questions you'd like to ask me, whatever points you'd like to make, these are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them more than you already have. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Coast to coast and around the globe. Make some noise, people. Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fella, broadcasting live all week long for Mike Malloy while they're off enjoying a well-deserved spring break. Glad you could be here with us. Our phone numbers, we're going to have open lines this hour, 877-520-1150, and I've got some open lines. Don't wait till the last 5 minutes to call. Because you people always do that, and then we can't get to all the people we'd love to get to. So give us a call now, 877-520-1150. The chat room at bradblog.com is still open for one more hour. We're always happy to see you over there. A lively conversation is always ensuing. And, of course, you can follow us and tweet us and make noise in our general direction, sock puppets or otherwise, to the Brad Blog. Over on the Twitters, 877-520-1150. I'll get to the phones in a moment here. This is from, where am I here? Huckabee Hearts Secrecy. This from Siddhartha Mahanta over at Mother Jones today. There's a Mike Huckabee mystery that won't go away, she writes. Send a public records request seeking documents from his 12-year stint as Arkansas governor, as Mother Jones recently did, and an eyebrow-raising reply will come back. The records are unavailable, and the computer hard drives that once contained them were erased and physically destroyed by the Huckabee administration as the governor prepared to leave office and launch a presidential bid. In 2007, during Huckabee's campaign for the GOP presidential nomination, the issue of the eradicated hard drive surfaced briefly, but it was never fully examined, and the key questions remain. Why had Huckabee gone to such great lengths to wipe out his own records? Whatever happened to a backup collection that was provided to a Huckabee aide? Huckabee is now considering another presidential run, and if he does enter the race, he would do so as a front runner, which would make the case of the missing records all the more significant. These records would shed light on Huckabee's governorship and could provide insight into how a President Huckabee, yes, you heard me right, how a President Huckabee I can hardly, how a President Huckabee might run the country. Meanwhile, observers of Arkansas's political scene, including one of Huckabee's former GOP allies, say the episode is characteristic of a politician who was distrustful and secretive by nature. So what is it about these Republicans like Mike Huckabee? His emails all gone from his years as governor. George Bush, millions of emails all gone. And yet, the Republican Party of Michigan is happy to turn around and slap a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, demanding the private personal emails of a professor at a state university up in Michigan, because that professor had the temerity to write an op-ed in the New York Times in support of unions and against Governor Scott Walker. So they are happy, happy to reveal whatever secrets they can of people they don't like. But when it comes to their own secrets, oh no, that's not for you or me. That must be done away with, and that is what they do. Meanwhile, down in Florida, as long as we're speaking about elections, as we were, the House Republican leadership has introduced a bill that the Leon County Supervisor of Election calls a travesty. Proposed House Bill 1355 passed through a subcommittee on Friday. And Leon County Supervisor of Elections, Ion Sancho, our hero, and maybe we'll get him on the show again this week to talk about this. He says that the proposed House Bill 1355 destroys the election process as it currently exists in Florida. And he went to legislators to let them know that he strongly opposes it. Sancho shook his head at the 128-page document. This is a 128-page election bill. Anyway, he shook his head at the document as before heading into the House office building to let the Government Operations Subcommittee know how he feels, but to no avail. The subcommittee members voted in favor of the proposed House bill under partisan lines. Sancho says he disagrees mostly with the change that would allow the partisan appointee of the governor, get ready for this, the partisan appointee of the governor to control all supervisors of elections and give them orders or remove them from office. Yes, the Secretary of State position in Florida is actually appointed by the governor. Remember Catherine Harris? Yes, she was appointed by Jeb Bush back there in 2000. And this bill would now give power to the Secretary of State to control supervisors of elections in each county. Supervisors of elections, such as Ion Sancho, are elected by the people. But now the appointee will be able to give them orders and remove them from office. Remove an elected official from office. Begging the question once again, of why is it that Republicans, why do they hate democracy? They hate it. Sancho said, quote, "This is ridiculous. It would be as if an appointed water district commissioner could order an elected legislator around. There's only one reason for this, and that is partisan control over the process. It serves no interest of the citizens." Sancho had more to say, but maybe we'll bring him on later in this week to talk about these issues. And by the way, we talk about these issues 24/7. Election integrity, 24/7, 365. We don't wait till a week before the elections when it's too damn late to do anything about it. We talk about them around the clock at bradblog.com. And at least when I'm sitting in here on the Mike Malloy Show. Connie in Alabama, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What is on your mind, Connie?
Brad, I'd like to thank you for making us publicly aware of what so many individuals have ran into and problems, and especially with voter fraud, issues. Just to be declared that an individual committed voter fraud by filling out an application and deposit, a lot of people in the country would not think that would happen.
Well, listen, Connie, the problem is, really the problem in this country is not voter fraud. It is election fraud. It is the election insiders. That's right. The election insiders who have control over the machines, over the process, over the computers, where one person can change the results of an election in about 30 seconds. It's not the voters. The voters are doing fine. Leave the voters alone, except for voters like, you know, Ann Coulter, GOP superstar, John Huntsman, GOP superstar, Charlie White, Secretary of State of Indiana, or this Randy Hopper jerk up there in Wisconsin who, well, you know, will be facing a recall election.
And it was amazing that, you know, in the last, I would say, 12 months, the wave of the Republicans was to restore democracy, and then you find so many of those are committing fraud against democracy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they, because they don't care about democracy. They say they do, but they don't. They have no interest in democracy. They want people like you to not vote at all, please, Connie. That is what they are working for. Hey, I appreciate the call, sir. Stay in touch.
Keep
down there.
Good work up, and thank you for making us aware of what is taking place around the country.
Bless you, sir. Really appreciate it. Oh, man. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Let's go to Bob in San Francisco. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi. It looks as if they're the object of the budget battle going on, not states, but in Washington. It's stretch it out as long as possible and hopefully create a double dip or recession or maybe get your $71 billion in cuts and make it impossible for Obama to get reelected. Or it may be just to keep the economy under stress so that all the foreign profits can come back in without being taxed to any great extent.
You know what? I don't really know what their game is. I don't know what they're thinking either. I have to imagine they're thinking this through. They've got an end game here. But in truth, it seems like they're doing themselves in. I mean, now they're talking about, we had the proposal today, or at least they're introducing this budget proposal for next year as they still fight about the existing budget. But Paul Ryan claims he's going to save $4 trillion by doing away with Medicare. Doing away with Medicare? Is this going to be popular, Bob? What are they thinking?
Well, I'm just trying to bring up the next thing on the agenda, which I can't believe is popular. So they really aren't in a hurry until they tank the economy. And then it'll look like mercy when that money comes in at whatever rate it's taxed at. We'll just beg for it.
Yeah. I don't know what they're thinking. I really don't. And maybe they, you know, maybe it's just the old starve the beast deal. But I don't think that works out well for them in the end, for the Republicans. On the other hand, if you control the voting machines and if you keep all the Democrats from voting, well, I guess you have no problem.
Well, maybe if the money is offshore, it can always just go to the American Chamber of Commerce.
I mean,
who's keeping track of where the money they get comes from?
Nobody.
A lot of it was offshore last
Nobody.
Time.
Nobody is keeping track. There are no police anymore. The DOJ so far is doing nothing about the U.S. chamber plot that we talked about at the top of the show. $12 million that they were planning to use against not just people like me, but actually against me and my family. No accountability from the DOJ. The Federal Election Commission is an absolute joke. It has been turned into something that simply does not work because you've got three Republicans and three Democrats, and they are purposely, keeping the FEC from bringing any accountability whatsoever. Thanks for the call, Bob. I got to get to a break here. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead. Welcome back. 23 minutes after. Oh, I like that tune, Tony. Well done. 23 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Yes, you are, truth seekers, but it is I, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, taking your calls at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Before I get back to the phones here, this today from CNN, the owner of the Gulf of Mexico oil rig that exploded last year, killing 11 workers and leading to what has been called the worst oil spill ever, said Monday that calling 2010 its, quote, best year in safety may have been insensitive. You think? Transocean Limited, in a recent filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, said hefty bonuses and raises to top executives were paid in part of the company's, quote, performance under safety last year. We acknowledge that some of the wording in our 2010 proxy statement may have been insensitive in light of the incident that claimed the lives of 11 exceptional men last year, and we deeply regret any pain that it may have caused, Transocean told CNN. Nothing in the proxy was intended to minimize this tragedy or diminish the impact it has had on those who lost loved ones. Everyone at Transocean continues to mourn the loss of these friends and colleagues. The statement did not address the controversy over their decision to give out cash awards despite the oil spill disaster, including, let's see, $200,000 salary increase for Transocean President and Chief Executive Officer Stephen L. Newman, whose base salary will increase from $900,000 to $1.1 million, the SEC report said. Newman's bonus was $374,000, according to the report, which Transocean filed on Friday. Newman also has a $5.4 million long-term compensation package the company awarded him upon his appointment as CEO in March of 2010. The statement to the SEC said, notwithstanding the tragic loss of life in the Gulf of Mexico, we achieved an exemplary statistical safety record as measured by our total recordable incident rate and total potential severity rate. As measured by these standards, we recorded the best year in safety performance in our company's history. Notwithstanding the tragic loss of life in the Gulf of Mexico. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? By the way, nine of those employees that were killed, nine of those 11 employees that died on that rig were Transocean employees. Very, very thoughtful, aren't they? And by the way, the money that those people are enjoying, that's taxpayer subsidies. With $4 trillion that Congressman Ryan wants to cut from the budget, $4 trillion, do away with Medicare as we know it. When he was asked on Sunday, on Fox News Sunday, naturally, whether he would cut oil company subsidies, well, he wouldn't commit to that. Those oil companies, they need to, despite record profits, despite being able to give bonuses like this, hundreds of thousands of dollars, they still need those subsidies, right, boys? And you teachers and you firefighters and you policemen and you people can all go straight to hell. But the oil companies, don't worry. We'll send you your scratch. You're listening to Brad in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Nope, not scared.
In the morning, I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
There you go.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle with you. There you go, Mom. You can stop bothering me to play that song like I'm her own personal DJ. Brad Friedman in from Mike Malloy. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. If you'd like to get in on the show, I see there's a lively chat room going on at bradblog.com where LTC Barber, who claims to be a conservative, but seems terribly uninformed about Acorn. Why is it these right-wingers will show up in the chat room, they'll send me email, dirty tweets, but they won't give us a call? We'd love to hear from you, 877-520-1150, or they, you know, wait until the very last second, and then I can't get to them at all. But we'd love to hear from you. Love to inform you, since you have been so misinformed. And no, I'm not like Mike and other folks who hate you. I don't hate you at all. I want to help you. Because you have been scammed, and you deserve better than that. You deserve better than the crap that you have been served by the liars who are trying to trick you. Clear? Okie dokie. Dave in Minneapolis, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Dave, what's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Brad. Thanks. Three things. I'm going to try to make this quick if I can, but I called originally to try to say, could people like you, whenever you talk to conservatives, get them to explain what their idea of a perfect United States would be? They never tell us. They seem to me to be leading us to some sort of medieval feudalism.
Well, you know what? You make a good point. And if they're Republican, now they're not conservatives, mind you. Most of them, they say they're conservatives, but they're just right wingers. They're not conservative. They don't believe in smaller government. They don't believe in the rule of law. They don't believe in the Constitution. So, no, you make
exactly
a good point.
Right.
Where are they going? I mean, the things they tell you where they're going, oh, we want small government. Oh, we want, you know, this and that. But they are things that are antithetical to what the Republicans in power actually do when they get into power. They're into bigger
exactly.
government. So,
and that leads to the second thing I wanted to share with you, and that is I'm so proud of my wife. She spent an hour and a half today making phone calls in for Joanne Kloppenberg in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
She talked to some lady who mentioned that Scott Walker's latest little scam, that is apparently there's a 23-year-old there who has no college degree but just got promoted into an $81,000-a-year job.
Yeah.
At which department? In one of the State Departments Commerce Department.
Yeah.
Because his daddy was a big donor to Scott Walker.
Yeah, I saw that story. I think it was over at rawstory.com had it before
cool.
the show. So go on over there and look. And, of course, Randy Hopper's girlfriend, 26-year-old,
yeah.
I think, she also got a job with the state somehow or another. Hey, Dave, I got to get to another call. I really appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you, Brad. I so appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Let me go to, LTC Barber, from our, bradblog.com chat room, claims he's a conservative, has called in. Hey, LTC Barber, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you. And, yes, I was in the chat room and no, I'm not afraid to call. And, I lived and worked in, Vegas, and I saw, you know, some of the people got arrested and got fined and got in trouble
for what?
For their violations in Las Vegas, and then
for what?
You know, the storefront. What?
For what?
For you know, they had people filling out cards.
Who had people filling out cards?
Workers.
What were you? Now you're talking about Acorn here, are you?
Yes.
Okay, Acorn didn't have anybody filling out cards illegally.
Yes, they did. In Vegas, they did.
No, actually, they didn't. The people who turned in cards, Acorn has to turn in all registrations, essentially, whether they believe they're fraudulent or not. They turn them in, and they let the election directors know, we think these are fraudulent, but here they are. And here, by the way, are the people who did this, who committed this fraud. We would like them investigated. We would like them prosecuted. That's what Acorn does. Okay, they turn in these people when they find these handful of people who do wrong. It's kind of like when somebody steals something off the shelf at Walmart. When an employee steals from the shelf, you don't say that Walmart is a criminal organization because some of their employees stole off the shelf, right? And especially when Walmart is the one who turns them in. You have been dreadfully, dreadfully misinformed, sir, about what went on in Vegas with Acorn. And yes, there were some folks who pled guilty who were involved with Acorn. You know what they pled guilty to because they couldn't afford lawyers? Which was paying because they had they included a payment for the number of registrations you got. They gave you a bonus if you got above a certain amount or something like this. That is apparently illegal in Nevada. Meantime, out here in California, for example, the GOP was paying their law firm, not their law firm, their registration firm, something like $12 a head to register Republican-only voters. So that firm was changing registrations from Democratic to Republican in order to make money. Nothing like that was done by Acorn, not in Vegas, not anywhere else. Have I helped you clear up this issue, LTC Barber?
No, you haven't, mainly because I sat up there and I watched news reports. Acorn had a storefront in Louisiana, and all these different organizations pointed to there. And when they went out to go investigate the location, it was just a little church or a building. Looked pretty suspicious to me.
A storefront? So. Now we're going to Louisiana. What happened at this storefront in Louisiana that was illegal?
There was a whole bunch of organizations pointing towards this little storefront location in Louisiana, several post office boxes or whatever.
Okay, for example, the American Center for Voting Rights, this fake group that was set up by Republicans, set up by the communication director of the Republican National Committee and by George W. Bush's, the Bush-Cheney 2004 General Counsel, a man by the name of Thor Hearn, who set up this committee, said he was a voting rights committee, was able to testify on Capitol Hill despite having been just invented literally days before they testified on Capitol Hill. And when I asked Thor Hearn where this American Center for Voting Rights, ACVR, comes from, he couldn't tell me where they were based. And we tracked them down to, just like you said, a storefront down in a strip mall in Houston, in a UPS post office box. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. A, because it was, in this case, it was legal. But he lied about it. And B, in the case that you're talking about, I mean, they created this phony organization. Acorn is a very, very real organization, or at least it was before they were put out of business by liars, thieves, frauds, and cheats like James O'Keefe and Andrew Breitbart and Fox News. Okay, but there was no laws broken down in Louisiana or wherever you came up with, since Vegas didn't work for you. You, sir, have been scammed. You have been lied to. And this organization, Acorn, a four-decade-old community organization fighting for low and middle-income voters to be able to exercise their franchise in an American democracy in 2011, really? While people are dying out around the world, Americans are dying, supposedly fighting for democracy. That's what these people, that's what Acorn was really doing. And these Republicans who lied and put them out of business hate democracy. And yes, LTC Barber, they hate you too.
Then I'll be hated. I mean, I'm still won't change my mind about it, and I think Acorn was wrong.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call. Next time, and by the way, he hung up on himself just now. Next time, try to inform yourself before you call in. Do I have this sound clip here? Let's see if I can play this. I can't seem to find it. Maybe I'll play it when I come back from the break. 877-520-1150. Maybe that's why the right-wingers don't want to call in, because they think I'll be mean to them. I won't be mean. Just have your facts straight. Just know what the hell it is you're talking about. before you call. Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Good evening, Brad.
Yes.
Did you hear about Lindsey Graham on Faith the Nation? Bob Schieffer saying that because we're in a war with terrorists, we have to limit free speech.
I didn't hear what he said. We had to limit free speech. Of course, that's what Lindsey Graham would say.
Yeah, in response to Terry Jones, a crazy non-preacher in Florida who burned the Koran and probably was put up to it by some idiot from the CIA.
Oh, he wants to ban book burning now, ban the Koran burning or something? That's Lindsey Graham's solution?
Yeah, anything, the idea of anything that could stir up our enemies should be banned. In other words, burning Korans or saying something negative about Muslims or the Islamic faith or their prophet Muhammad, anything.
Terry Jones is an idiot. Terry Jones is a jackass. Terry Jones helped, kill dozens of folks out there in Afghanistan now because of his idiot ways in burning a Koran. He is a jackass. But we don't make laws against freedom of speech just because Terry Jones type jackasses exist out there.
Well, keep an eye on it. Because I think we're going to see more pressure like this, especially if some other idiot. And I think these guys could be instigated to do crap because they're mentally ill.
Yep.
And some guy slides into the church and starts talking trash, saying, hey, we should do this, we should do that.
Yeah.
These guys are so unstable, they buy it.
Yeah, I know. Well, and they own the media, and they're willing to spend billions to sell their crap. Hey, thanks, Ron. I do appreciate your call, sir. All right, back with more of your calls at 877-520-1150. By the way, here is Paul Weyrich, a right-wing demigod, back in 1980. Talking about his thoughts about democracy, speaking at a convention with Jerry Falwell and Ronald Reagan to a whole bunch of preachers back in 1980 about what he, basically their hopes that people won't vote in elections. And this has been the Republican playbook when it comes to Acorn and everything else. Let me try that again. Do my turn down or are you? Try it again. Yeah. Not working? Is it playing? No? All right. Well, we'll try play when we come back. Basically, now we got it. Now we got it. Let's find out. No? Just not showing up. Oh, well. Basically, Paul Weyrich said he doesn't want everyone to vote. He wants people to not vote because the voting leverage for Republicans goes up as the voting populace goes down. And that is the strategy. And that is why Acorn had to be knocked out of business, because they were helping people vote, low and middle income voters. And when that happens, Republicans don't win elections. You're listening to Brad in for Malloy. Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low. Preaching love and freedom for his fellow man. With his Bible by his side. From his foes, he wouldn't hide. My thanks tonight. It's hard to think. On this 43rd anniversary of the death of Martin Luther King. My thanks to engineer Tony Sorrentino and producer Desi Doyen. Thanks, guys, especially for putting together that great montage to mark MLK's death today. It's really beautiful. My thanks also to For Earth, keeping her eye on the chat room for us, along with Desi. And let's see, Ben Birch out at White Rose. Thank you, sir, for all you do. And my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy, as ever, for having me fill in for them, as I will be doing for the rest of the week. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your trust and your faith. And if you're listening, by the way, via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid after this tonight. My thanks also to Congressman Hank Johnson and to Professor Stefan Lewandowski. We will have, if you missed any portion of the show tonight, or even if you want to relive the adventure once again, we'll have it up late night tonight at bradblog.com, or better still, higher quality audio over at, and sooner, over at MikeMalloy.com in the podcast section, where you need to be a subscriber to access them. But when you subscribe, you support Progressive Radio. Here was that clip, by the way, from I had mentioned from Paul Weyrich, setting the strategy for keeping voters from voting, something that God knows Martin Luther King was fighting against. Here's Paul Weyrich in 1980. Still? Really? Still? Here we go. Okay, I'll figure this out. There we go. Now here it comes.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I want everybody to vote, regardless of party affiliation, especially tomorrow in Wisconsin, where there's a very important election. Tim DeChristopher will also be joining us tomorrow on this show. Look him up if you don't know who he is. Hey, Richard in Florida, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. How are you?
Thanks, Brad. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, brother.
Okay. Listen, I need more than a few minutes, but I know that's all I have. I've been...
You don't need, Richard, you ain't even got that much, I'm sorry to say.
I know, but let me just say what I could say. I'll call back later in the week.
All right.
People should spend their time looking at the True Vote model. It covers 1988 to 2008 elections. Three of those elections were stolen, the elections were all stolen by guy's named Bush.
All right, and what will the True Vote model tell us, and where can we find it? And you have to say that quickly.
Okay, the links are right in this, right on the chat, and you can go to richardsharnon.com and link to my blog. You can get to it from there, but the links are right there on the in the chat. I put it in about 10 times.
RichardCharnin.com, that's CHARNIN.com, to review the presidential races over the last 12 years or so, to see what you believe have been.
20 years.
20 years. Richard, thank you for all the work you do for election integrity. I got to roll, brother.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
You bet. All right, let me get to, hey, Russell in Buffalo, you get 15 seconds. Welcome to the Malloy Show.
Okay, our founding fathers said this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Now, when Ronald Reagan said government isn't the solution, government's the problem, wouldn't he be saying the people are the problem?
Exactly right. The government is the people. And if I hear somebody talk about how bad government is, once again, you know, that we are the government. And that's why we need to step up and straighten this government out.
We could vote against them. That's the whole thing right there. We could vote against the Republicans, and that's why we're the problem.
That's exactly right. Theoretically, we can. Russell, thanks for the call. Thanks, everybody, for the call. Thanks for folks in the bradblog.com chat room. I will be back with you all tomorrow night. Same Brad time, same Brad channel right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks, America. Until then, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Keep it lit.